I want to invite you now to hear these words that great servant in the church, Paul, has for us. These words that he wrote to the church that has been called Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Yes, even death on a cross. And therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee would bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work within you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your servant Paul that shaped this young church, that shaped the scriptures. We pray, O God, that his words and teachings might indeed have a claim upon our lives and our everyday living. Oh God, give us a sense of rest and peace and comfort from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever had a conversation with today's children to see what they consider or will consider old-fashioned? I see our children have left our downstairs. As I'm looking out over, there's a few left, but probably none of them have ever grown or had to use a typewriter. How many of you remember those babies? How many of you were excited when they came out with electric one? You didn't have to push so hard. Today's kids have never been without a smartphone, never been without McDonald's. I remember when the McDonald's first came to my hometown. I think one of their sales pitch was, dinner for mom and dad and two children, you get change back from your $5 bill. No more. $5 won't even get one person a meal. Remember telephones before we had cell phones. Remember being tethered because of the cord. First time my mom and dad got a cordless phone, my dad called his mom, grandma, that lived right next to us. He was talking to her as he walked to her house, and he entered her home, and she's talking to him and looked at him and said, "How did you do that?" Many of you grew up with a party line. I mean, he used to sit in the afternoon for entertainment and listen in on the neighbor's conversations. You kept a pillow or a cloth over the receiver so they couldn't hear you breathing or, God forbid, calling Graham was horrible because I remember being frustrated as a child. She was on the same party line. You picked it up, you dialed a 2 or 3 or 4 digit number, hung it up, and then it would ring at her house and your house. And when it was done ringing, you know she picked it up. Oh, Mom, you dial the phone. In 100 years from now, what's going to be considered obsolete? Holographic communications? Teleporting? 3D printers? Robots with artificial communication? Will wealthy people 100 years from now be able to make genetic selections for their children? Will we have a base, a community on Mars? I remember in grade school thinking probably by now we would have been on the moon. Will you be able to log on to your computer directly from your brain just by thinking? That's frightening. Will cars be able to really park themselves and just go where we want them to go without a driver, somehow like our GPSs tell us where to go in a nice way? Perhaps the children of the 22nd century will be excited over some more, well, common, everyday things. Maybe there will be transparent toasters. Maybe there will be a self-cooling can of beer. Oh, Pepsi or Coke, we're in church. Cell phones maybe are going to charge themselves. Maybe laptop computers are going to be like a thin piece of paper. But of all the futuristic predictions, there is one that is predicted not to change. That would be human nature. As far as biblical and historical evidence has shown, human nature with its me first attitude has not changed since Adam and Eve were in the garden. And it seems very unlikely that it's going to change in the next 100 years. And that brings us to today's text. Whereas in 100 years from now, we might expect the world to be different in many ways, and there are going to be some cool things, some cool stuff that would be great to have right now, there is no doubt that we are going to have trouble putting the welfare of others ahead of our own. In today's scripture, Paul talks to the Philippian Christians about at least eliminating rivalries. Be of the same mind, he writes, having the same love, being of one full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. In short, Paul is encouraging and challenging them to live in ways that are appropriate to the gospel's, ways in which reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Now, why would Paul even need to say that to Christians? Aren't church people always nice and Christ-like? You didn't chuckle. Today's services have not chuckled like last night did. Even in the early church, just as in congregations today, people don't see eye to eye on everything. We church people are real people, and we have honest beliefs on every subject. In some cases, our beliefs line up together, and in other cases, they just don't. And that's true even when we seek to line up our beliefs of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And so while we as a congregation may be trying to have the same mind as was in Christ Jesus, we as individual Christians differ about politics, social problems, lifestyle decisions, the interpretation of the Bible, worship styles, and a host of other matters, and the list goes on. Because after you've been in a church long enough, after we preachers have been in churches long enough, we know that when we say things, some of you aren't going to be happy about it because we hear about it at the receiving line. where we get a phone call or we get now emails or voicemails. I mentioned those Pearly Q light bulbs 10 years ago in a sermon and royally fussed somebody up big time. He wanted equal time in the pulpit over a light bulb. Holy smokes. When it becomes bad enough, when it gets out of hand, churches and even denominations split. And sadly, my friends, there's no reason to think that in the next 100 years, it's going to be any different. So what can we do? Well, Paul says that Jesus Christ is to be our common ground, and we are to have a shared desire to follow him, even though we may differ in some of our beliefs. We can still have a unity of spirit that makes us want to put others in our group first and beyond our own interests. In fact, it was this unity of the Spirit as something that God gives to us so that we can seek God together within the church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer referred to this unity of the Spirit that can accompany the life of the church as the meeting grounds of Christianity. Now, Paul is not saying that the people in the Philippian church were not sincere in their faith and in their daily living. Paul is calling and challenging them to keep growing and to keep maturing in the faith, to keep moving after the example that they read about, that they hear about in Jesus Christ. John Wesley would call it moving on towards perfection, to be made perfect in our Christian love. My friends, coming to church, coming to worship, singing, praying, studying, hearing God's word should all be a time of encouragement. We come to encourage each other to keep growing and maturing in our faith. We will guaranteed stumble then and again. When we try to take those things that we read about, that we know God is discerning for us, and to apply them in our daily lives and living, we are going to stumble. After all, the humility that enables us to regard others as better than ourselves does not just come naturally for most of us. But even when we fail, we should not chuck our commitment, our desires, our intentions out the window, because in the life of the church, we have this wonderful thing that's called grace and forgiveness that enables us to begin again with every new moment that we have and experience. So what about 21:14? None of us, except maybe, well, there's one, maybe two, we'll probably get there. But it's likely that human nature is not going to significantly change between now and then. The me first tendency that has goofed up our lives and marks humankind will likely still be around and affecting individuals and congregations. But our concern today is not really a century from now. Our concern is with 2014. So let's make it 2014, a Christian growth goal for the rest of the year, and perhaps even into infinity and beyond, to work for the sake of Jesus Christ, to work toward living together with our fellow Christians in a humble, in humility and in gratitude, to know that their presence is with us, and to know that the needs of others are beyond our own. To discover what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, these others around us can become a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. May we have the mind of Christ as we go into the world. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we admit that our humanity gets in the way. Our selfishness, our wants, our desires trip us up. And we don't always have the mind of Christ. But you, O God, have created us in your image. And that means that it's tucked away somewhere in each of us. O God, we pray that through your Spirit, we might tap into this mind of Christ, so that each and every day we might become more and more like him, moving on to perfection. Continue, O God, to bless us, to strengthen us, to anoint us as faithfully we go. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.